From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Pharmacist Ben is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist. He has been compounding custom medications for years, and he is a spokesperson for criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, welcome back.
George, good to talk to you again.
How are you? We're rolling into June. Here we are. A couple more weeks, it'll be July.
It's crazy, George. It just gets faster and faster.
It really does. Got a call several days ago from one of our great listeners and wanted me to ask you about green tea and whether it's good for the immune system.
Oh, it's good for everything. Isn't it amazing how this beverage is so tasty? Next to water, it's probably the maybe along with coffee, it's the most commonly consumed beverage around the world. It's phenomenally healthy for you, especially against the sun, against cancer, against for supporting the immune system, as this gentleman said. I like making a green tea sun protection beverage by taking green tea, putting it in a jar, dropping in some lemon peel, squeezing some lemon in there, and then letting it sit in the sun. It protects your skin from the sun. It's great for your heart, supports immunity, and tastes delicious.
What makes it so powerful?
It's got this, has a whole bunch of antioxidants in it, but one in particular called epigallocatechin is really powerful, one of the most powerful of all antioxidants, and green tea is loaded with it. And, of course, you get a little bit of caffeine, too.
We're going to take calls with pharmacist Ben Fuchs in just a few minutes, so you might want to start getting ready to make your calls. Tom's going to take some texts and tweets from you, too. He's with us every 6 weeks, along with Doc Wallach. They rotate every 3 weeks each to give you some information from criticalhealthnews.com. Well, COVID is up by 10 times what's happening right now from a year ago.
It's not COVID that's up. It's the positive test that's up. And we confuse the positive test with a COVID infection, with COVID symptoms. Just because you have an infection, first of all, there's a lot of debate on whether that PCR test is very accurate. A lot of people say it's not accurate, including the guy who invented the PCR test. So we don't know about the accuracy.
So you might have a sinus infection.
We just can't. The test
and it shows positive.
The test was not developed to diagnose disease. So we don't know about the PCR test.
And it also came out way too fast.
Yeah, when you hear about all these numbers, what they're telling you is they're talking about positive tests. Whether or not the tests are accurate, that's the first problem. And then second of all, just because you have a COVID infection doesn't mean you're going to be sick. A lot of people handle it. In fact, most people handle it. The news is made by folks who are symptomatic or hospitalized, who are really sick, but most people will not have a problem. Their immune system will handle it. And it's true, some people will have issues, and if you get COVID, it could be pretty significant. But for most people, they're not going to have a problem. And don't confuse a positive test. Don't confuse positive test statistics with actual disease states.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. But, deaths are less than a year ago, which I find even stranger.
Well, it's because people figure out how to handle it. And a lot of the deaths were from hospitalizations. You know, most of the people who died were in hospitals, and we don't know whether the deaths were caused by hospitalizations, by medications, by doctor errors. And, you know, there's this thing called iatrogenic disease. It's hospital or doctor or medical-caused diseases, and it's actually a leading cause of death, one of the top three causes of death. So we don't really know. When you hear people go to a hospital and they died of COVID, we don't know what they exactly died of.
Mask mandates are trickling back in again, Ben. What do you think of that?
I'm not a fan of the masks. You know, if you have COVID, if somebody has COVID, they should stay in. They should stay away from people. But to have the entire population masked because of fear of the virus, it just doesn't make any sense to me, especially little children. It breaks my heart to see little kids wearing masks.
Do you think it's irresponsible for people who have COVID to walk around outside unmasked and just do their thing?
If you're sick, you want to stay in, and you don't want to expose other people to it. That's true. But to have an entire population masked for fear of a virus, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, oxygenation is just as significant a problem, or lack of oxygenation is just as significant a problem as a potential viral infection.
They took it off planes, and I'm idly waiting for them to put them back on again.
I know. I've got to fly here in a couple of days. Hopefully, they won't put them back on. I know some cities they have them back on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're picking up again. And if numbers drop after they put the masks on, then they're going to keep them on regularly, I'm afraid.
That's crazy, George. I mean, I can't wear the mask. I got to breathe. I take my oxygenation very seriously.
When you were doing your pharmaceutical work, did you wear a mask?
Yes, I wore a mask often. I was doing a lot of skincare compounding, making skincare products. And interestingly, a lot of the products that I was making, a lot of times when I was making products with drugs, especially skin lightening drugs and acne medications and sunscreens, I would wear masks. The same stuff that people would rub on their skin, I wouldn't want to breathe because they were so toxic. Yeah, so I did wear a mask when I was working with certain medications in the skincare setting, and that obviously it's appropriate then. But to just wear a mask for 8 hours a day, that's absurd to me.
Larry writes from who knows where. It's an email, and he wants to know about narcolepsy. He says he tends to fall asleep a lot. He likes to play poker at settings and stuff, and he finds himself dozing off.
You know, that's an interesting health challenge. You know, can you imagine you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they just doze off? And narcolepsy is a sign of a body in great distress. Narcolepsy is a classic example of how we get the treatments of disease.
Is it a brain thing?
It's a sign that the body is under duress. It's associated with comorbidities, with blood sugar problems. It's associated with kidney issues. It's associated with other health issues. And we see symptoms, and we want to attack the symptom. I get calls all the time. People say, "Oh, I have tinnitus. What do I take?" Or, "Oh, I have eczema. What do I do?" We want to focus on the symptoms, not realizing that the symptoms that we find so unpleasant are really the body's responses to some kind of cause. And we don't want to attack the symptom. If we really want to be effective with our healthcare therapies, we don't want to attack the symptom. We want to figure out the cause. And then the symptom takes care of itself. But we've got a medical model that focuses on symptomology, not necessarily as a bad thing, because if you have symptoms, you want to get rid of them sometimes, but you're not going to take care of the problem by addressing the symptoms. So if you have narcolepsy, the standard treatment is amphetamines, the speed. It's to keep you up, to keep you awake. But that doesn't address the problem, which is the biochemical duress that the body is under that's causing it to be knocked out. The falling asleep is a sign that the body just needs to stop because it's under stress. And so you want to deal with the bodily duress. Usually, as I say, it involves the blood sugar system. There's also comorbidities. Comorbidities means another disease that's associated with the symptom. There's usually comorbidities that involve the digestive system and sometimes kidney disease as well, as I say.
What do you think of people who, at the drop of a pin, rush off to the doctor for any ailment they may have? Smart or not?
It's good marketing. You know, the American Medical Association is one of the best, has some of the best marketing there is. We automatically assume that the doctor should know what's going on. The doctor's job is not necessarily to cure our illnesses. The doctor's job is to teach us. In fact, the word doctor comes from the word doctrine, which means to teach. So a doctor should be a teacher. A doctor should be somebody who teaches you about the body, who teaches you about your illnesses, who teaches you what your symptoms mean, who goes backwards from the symptoms and teaches you how the symptom is related to a specific cause so that you can take care of yourself. A good doctor is going to be a good educator. And we're always surprised when a doctor makes a mistake or when a doctor does something silly, or treats a viral infection with an antibiotic or does a crazy thing, because we assume that there's this kind of genius mentality that's associated with being a doctor. It doesn't necessarily work that way. The body is very complicated. The way the biochemistry of the body is set up is very complex. And I always tell people, if you're sick, go to a biochemist, not a doctor, because a doctor practices clinical chemistry, not biochemistry. And this is a distinction that nobody really makes. Clinical chemistry is the chemistry of the clinic. It's the chemistry of your test scores, the chemistry of your blood pressure and your blood glucose levels, and the chemistry of your thyroid scores. It's not the chemistry of biology, which is what biochemistry is. Biochemistry is the chemistry of the pathways, of how A gets turned into B, gets turned into C, gets turned into D. When you have something going wrong with the body, it's in the pathways. It's in the biochemistry. Clinical chemistry can't help you with that, and that's why we have more doctors and more drugs and more devices and more insurance companies and more hospitals than any other country in the history of mankind, but we are the sickest culture at the same time because we're practicing clinical chemistry to address biology. You have to address biochemistry if you're going to address the biological symptoms, not clinical chemistry.
Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Elizabeth writes, why are melanomas so scary?
Oh, melanoma is so fascinating to me. Melanin is a highly electrical substance. Think of what melanin does, George. Melanin takes the energy from the sun and electrically deactivates it. It spins it around through its chemical structure and deactivates photonic energy. In order to do that, it has to have a lot of electricity. It has to have an electrical value to it. And so melanin, as it turns out, is highly electrical. In fact, they make computer chips with melanin. Melanin is the most electrical substance in the body. And this is why, by the way, why darker-skinned people don't age as fast. You ever see, like, African-Americans, they don't get wrinkles as much, and even Hispanics and Indians, they have much more youthful skin as they get older. It's because the melanin is very protective. It's protective against electromagnetics, specifically against the sun.
Interesting.
But that same electromagnetic property makes it very dangerous, because when it's carcinogenic, it throws off the entire electrical milieu of the body. And so you have a highly electrical substance that is now being produced in great abundance, and cancer, at the end of the day, like all biology, is an electrical phenomenon. A cancer cell is a cell that has distorted electronics, and the highly electrical nature of melanin contributes to that.
Interesting take. So is melanoma by itself cancerous?
Yes. Melanoma is a deadly cancer. It's the most deadly of all cancers.
Even a little spot on your skin that might be cancerous could kill you?
Well, not when it's a little spot. It's not going to kill you, but when it's...
But it spreads.
It spreads. A melanoma is a cancer of the cell that makes melanin. Melanin, the pigment, the dark stuff that you see on your skin when you get a tan, is produced in a specific kind of cell called a melanocyte. I always tell people when I'm doing my talks, I say, you know what? There's no such thing as skin cancer. There's no such thing as breast cancer. There's no such thing as bone cancer. There's no such thing as liver cancer. There's no such thing as pancreatic cancer, and on and on and on. And people freak out and say, what are you saying? You know, I don't, there's,
that was that was my next question to you.
What are you talking about? It's crazy. Listen to what I'm going to say, George. This is very important right now. There's no such thing as breast cancer. There's breast cell cancer. There's skin cell cancer. There's bone cell cancer. There is pancreatic cell cancer. Cancer is a cellular phenomena.
Right.
It's not an organ phenomena. We focus on the organs because that's what we see. But at the end of the day, it's the cell that's going crazy.
But isn't the organ the cell?
No. The organ is made up of cells, but the cancer itself is not contributing to the organ. It's almost as if, let's take a liver, for example. Liver cancer, I say, is liver cell cancer. What happens is the cells of the liver get so freaked out. They are so duress, they're so starved, they're so toxic, they're so deficient in oxygen and suffocated that it's like they say, you know what, you have been abusing me for so long, I'm not going to be a liver. I'm just going to divide on my own. And so a cancer cell is a cell that no longer contributes to the organ. It no longer becomes a liver. It no longer becomes a breast. It no longer becomes a skin. It no longer contributes to the organ. It just decides, I'm going to go ahead and divide by myself. It's almost as if it's like at its wit's end. It doesn't know what else to do.
Hold on, Ben. We're at a break. We'll come back and chat more and take phone calls. We'll start with calls as well. Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Operators are standing by to give you information. They're taking notes. That's 1-855-949-7234. We're going to take calls this half hour and next hour as well. And when you call in, turn that radio down a little bit so we don't get feedback. And then when you're off the air or you're done with your question, you can turn your radio back up and you'll be able to hear yourself. And pharmacist Ben Fuchs. And that website, we need to set a record. We have not done it yet. According to the webmaster for criticalhealthnews.com, sent me a little note. He said, we didn't hit the record yet. So go to that website, criticalhealthnews.com. Poke around there for a little bit. Go there with your smartphone. Go there with your desktop and just spend a couple seconds there while you're listening to the program, if you would. Ben, you do a great job for us, you and Doc Wallach. You know that?
George, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the forum, and we're here to make a difference in people's health. The most fundamental thing there is in life is health. Doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how great your relationship is. If you're not healthy, nothing else matters. It all goes out the window.
We've had for years, I've been doing this program going into 20 years now, but we have for years had a caller. His name was Bill from West Hartford, Connecticut. He's an amateur astronomer. He's also an atheist, and he would always call whenever he called the show and say exactly that. Hi, this is Bill. I'm an amateur astronomer and an atheist. And then he'd ask his question to the guest. But he, you know, over the past year, he never called. He used to call all the time. And I told Tom, I said, Tom, I think something's happened to the guy. And he said, well, you may be right, because it had been a year. Just a few days ago, one of his friends sent an email to our staff and said that Bill from West Hartford, Connecticut, died in June of 2021.
Wow.
A year ago. So this span of a year where we didn't hear from him and I felt something was wrong, the poor guy had died.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder how old he was, do you know?
He was 71 years old.
71 years old. Oh.
71's the new 50.
That's so young, George. Oh, my God, 71.
But, you know, one of the reasons we do this, and I tell people who email me and they go, you like health shows, don't you, alternative medicine? I said, yeah, I do. But the reason I do this is I want to protect one person, whoever that is.
Yeah.
That we can save. Now, if we happen to save millions who listen to this program, so be it. But I want to take care of that one person who has some ailment or some illness they haven't been able to get fixed by a doctor.
Yeah.
And you and Doc Wallach give them some pointers. They build up their system. They build up their strength. And they're better. And
you know,
that's what it's all about.
At the end of the day, George, nobody is suffering from a pharmaceutical deficiency. The strategies of the medical model, drugs and surgeries and devices, while they may be necessary at times, for the most part, for the chronic degenerative illnesses that we suffer from, it's lifestyle-based, and that means we have control over it. Arthritis and diabetes and Parkinson's disease, these are chronic degenerative issues where the body doesn't heal itself. It means something is interfering with the healing process. So we got to figure out what is it that's getting in the way of the body healing itself. The body's a healing system. It always heals. If it's not healing, something's blocking it. And that something could be a positive thing that's blocking it, such as a toxin that's coming into the body, something that you're eating, or it could be a negative thing, something that's not getting into the body that should be. And by putting the right stuff in and taking the bad stuff out, and I've seen this for 40 years now, by putting the good stuff in and taking the bad stuff out, you can reverse the symptomology of every single chronic degenerative disease there is. You could begin to reverse it, George. The beautiful thing about this is you could begin to reverse it immediately. Do you know between cigarettes your lungs start to heal? Do you know between meals
that fast.
Your intestines start to heal?
That fast. That's right.
That fast. Between cigarettes. So when you take the bad stuff out and you put the good stuff in, and that's as simple as you can get, bad stuff out, good stuff in. Almost every single symptom that you can name, if it has to do with a chronic long-term degenerative illness, can begin to resolve itself.
They came out with a story today that a drug that boosts your immune system has been used on tumors in the colon.
Yeah.
In every person in the trial experiment, it worked.
Yeah,
it worked for all
14.
Of them. Building your immune system. Well, we can also do that naturally, can't we?
Yes, you can. Heck yes, you can with the immune system. The ironic thing is almost everything we think is good for us somehow suppresses our immune system in terms of foods. When I think talking about foods, do you know every time you eat, your immune system becomes stressed? Every time, even if you're eating lettuce, everything you put in your mouth gets regarded as an enemy. So your immune system perks up, it spikes. And the inflammatory system spikes no matter what you eat, which is why, one of the reasons why, restricting your calories and eating less foods is one of the best things you could do for longevity and to reduce the symptoms of inflammation and chronic degenerative diseases. How hard is that? Just eat less.
Edgar Cayce, the late prophet,
yes.
Said that, and I don't use the cure word, but he said eating almonds will prevent cancer.
Yeah.
Well, what's in the almonds that would do that?
Laetrile, right?
Yeah, that's in the apricot seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Seeds and nuts. Almonds have something called amygdalin. And seeds and nuts contain substances that kill things. When you were a kid, did your mom say, don't eat watermelon seeds or don't eat your apple seeds?
Never.
She never said that?
She never said that to me.
My mom said that all the time.
She always baked them for me and encouraged me to eat them.
Well, your mom was pretty sharp. But a lot of, there's kind of like an old wives' tale, don't eat seeds. That's because seeds contain substances that kill things. seeds are not meant to be eaten. So nature has stuffed them full of anti-nutrients.
Of good stuff, right?
Well, medicinal stuff, we'll say, toxic stuff, stuff that can kill things. So when gluten, for example, and the substances that are in grains that are problematic, grains are seeds. So nature doesn't want its seeds eaten. And so it's stuffed seeds with anti-nutrients, enzyme inhibitors, toxins, things that will create problems. Well, those same kinds of substances
cause
cancer.
Tom's with us. He's got a text and tweet for you, then we'll take calls. What do you have for us, Tom? You got it? Not yet? Okay.
I am right here.
Oh, you're ready. Okay, there you are.
I am. Hey, Ben, this is from Marcia in Weslaco, Texas. Yeah. She says, can you please explain how chiropractic care really works, and are you a fan of it?
Heck yes. Heck yes, I am. Chiropractors are forced to use, like nutritionists and like a lot of alternative practitioners, they don't get to use drugs. So they have to use other means to address the body. In the case of chiropractic, they use manipulations. They tweak the body, and the theory being that a lot of illnesses are derived from inflammation and contractions and problems with the spinal cord, which makes a lot of sense. And so the science of chiropractic is basically about manipulation. However, smart chiropractors also use alternative therapies like nutrition and like herbs. And they understand the importance of correct movement and correct gait. So I'm a big believer in chiropractic, and I'm a big believer in body work. In fact, a lot of chronic pain issues. You know, George, some 60% of Americans over the age of 65 are dealing with chronic pain. 40% of Americans in general are dealing with chronic pain issues. And a lot of those chronic pain issues are due to contractions in the musculature that can be released with various forms of body work, like Reikian therapy, for example, or like Rolfing, for example, or even just plain old massage, for example. You know, if we really cared about health in this country, we would have national massage insurance, where every American gets 2 massages a month on the government.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. Doria gets us started in Ashland, Oregon. Hi, Doria. Welcome.
Hey, Doria.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm a big fan of both of you and of Dr. Wallach and of Rebecca Kozak and all of the gang.
Thank you.
I have a question. I've been a reflexologist for over 30 years, and periodically I get little broken blood vessels in my hands. Nowhere else, but they just pop. And it kind of burns for a few minutes, and then it kind of, over a couple of days, just disperses. It doesn't really stop me from anything, but is there something I can take?
Yeah, that's a sign that the blood vessels are starting to get weak, and it might have something to do with the stress of your hands. Reflexology, by the way, for the listeners, is manipulation of the feet. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Doria, it's for addressing not just the feet, but the areas in the body that are represented in the feet. Is that correct?
Feet mirror all the parts of the body.
So by touching certain areas of the feet, you can work on the lungs, or you can work on the eyes, or you can work on various parts of the body. And those same kind of areas in the feet that match up with parts of the body are found in the ears, and they're found in the eyes. It's almost like the body has these fractal areas where you can kind of work on parts of the body by working on the hands or the feet or looking at the eyes in iridology. I talked to a gal a couple of days ago on my radio show that does Korean hand therapy, where she actually works with the hands like you work with the feet. But to answer your question, you want to start building your connective tissue. It sounds like the connective tissue is starting to break down, and that's one of the manifestations of that is what they call petechiae or cherry angiomas, which are these little kind of red spots that will appear in the legs or in your case in the hands. That's a sign that the connective tissue is starting to break down. You want to start building the connective tissue. Get yourself on the glucogel cast. Not only will that help you in your hands, but that'll also help you with your circulatory system, with your heart. The glucogel caps are actually great blood thinners. So they'll support blood circulation. And then also you want to make sure that you're getting enough vitamin C, which, of course, you'll get in the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. I'd be using the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack for that.
And, Doria, if you missed any of it, call this number, 1-855-949-7234. Tell them a little bit about your call with Pharmacist Ben, and they're taking notes, and they'll be able to give you specific information as well, especially for you folks who are driving your cars or you're sleeping with the radio by your pillow, and you can do that. Let's go to Jerry in Artesia, California, first-time caller. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir.
have a quick question. I actually drink a lot and stuff like that. I was wondering if there's any signs or symptoms like that actually make me want to, you know, calm it down a little bit.
Did you say drink alcohol? I didn't hear what you said.
Alcohol, yeah, lots of alcohol.
Alcohol. What, so you want to wean yourself off of that?
What's your drink of choice, Jerry?
My drink of choice right now is I'm going the healthy route. I'm doing a low sugar a health drink with a vodka. But before that, I would drink those clubs.
Okay.
Are you saying you want to wean yourself off of that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just want to know, like, I want something to scare me. I think that's the best way for me to stop.
Well, cirrhosis will scare you.
Yeah, or DUI. That'll scare you, too.
DUI, that's right. Yeah, no, I don't know if you want to go the scare route, but it sounds like you might want something to take the edge off of things. And what I would suggest, if that's the case, is you get yourself on the Sleepies from Youngevity. And that's got couple of really interesting ingredients. One in particular is melatonin, which everybody knows about. But most people, when they think of melatonin, think of sleep.
Now, you only take that at night, though, right?
No, you take it towards the end of the day, not necessarily at night, because melatonin...
I mean, but you don't want to drive with it.
No, you don't want to drive. You don't want to do your day with it. But towards the end of the day, when you're at home, when you're relaxing, and I'm sure that's when Jerry is drinking, when he's relaxing. So if you use melatonin, most people think of it as a sleep aid, but what it really is, it's a relaxation aid that antagonizes stress, that balances out stress hormone, cortisol. So melatonin is not only for sleep, it's also for blocking cortisol, preventing the stimulation of stress hormone, and bonus, it's great for your immune system. In fact, when Donald Trump went to the hospital, in fact, when a lot of people go to the hospital for COVID, they actually use melatonin to boost the immune system. So melatonin not only helps you relax, but it also has great immune-boosting properties. It balances out stress hormone, and it's wonderfully anti-aging, too.
And how about willpower?
You know, I'm not a big believer in willpower.
You're not, really?
No, it just sounds like such a fight. You know, it sounds like a battle going on when you have willpower. I want to do it. I can't do it. I want to do it. I can't do it. It doesn't sound healthy to me to have to force yourself to do things.
And I think it's powerful if you've got the ability.
If you're a Green Beret or something, but not everybody has that. If you're George, addiction is self-medication. Addiction is a way that we deal with things. We learn to cope with our addictive substance. If you don't address what you're trying to cope with, you're not going to be able to quit. And that's why they say in AA that you're always an alcoholic, that you can never quit. It's because you're not dealing with whatever the issue is that you're trying to cope with or you're trying to medicate away. And that's why people bite their fingernails, and that's why people do addictive substances. And that's why we have this opioid crisis, is because we have these issues underneath that we're trying to self-medicate. And until you deal with those issues, you're not going to be able to kick the habit, at least not long-term, unless you're constantly in this willpower battle.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. Slam that website. I want to set a world record. We haven't set it yet tonight, and we should. And the number to call where there are assistants working away. Doc Wallach's got a million people working behind him. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. You said you're traveling in a couple days.
Yeah, I'm going to New York. I'm going to Talkers. You know about Talkers?
Oh, we know it well. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to Talkers. It's going to be fun. I'm going with MZ. And by the way, Doc, happy birthday to Doc. He had his 83rd birthday.
He doesn't sound it, and he doesn't look it.
I know.
And of course, he'll tell you that, too.
He looks great, and he sounds great. Absolutely.
Only time I ever saw him hurt or injured was when he fell into a hole. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, I know. I know. That was the only time, exactly.
He's a short guy, so it took a while for him to get out of the hole. But he's doing okay. We're going to take a break here in a second, Ben, and come back in just a moment at the top of the hour and take a full hour of phone calls with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. CriticalHealthNews.com.